Hello, this is Ernie Alonzo along with Nolan Meadness of HauntedOrange.com. Today we are very happy and privileged to have on our show Miss Lorraine Warren. And Nolan, if you can do the honors and tell us a little bit about Lorraine.
I would absolutely love to. Now, this is quite a resume, so you might want to get comfy. She is a professed clairvoyant and medium. She is the co-founder of the New England Society for Psychic Research. She has investigated well over 10,000 hauntings over her career. She was among the first investigators in the Amityville hauntings. She is the author of a number of nonfiction paranormal-related books. She has appeared on numerous television shows, including Discovery's A Haunting and A&E's Paranormal State. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome to the program Lorraine Warren.
Lorraine, are you there? Great to have you on.
Great to be with you tonight.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We've been trying to do this for a while, so we're glad we finally got you on our show.
Good.
And what we want to do is, we are, of course, Haunted Orange, and we're based in the city of Orange. And one of the things the city of Orange is known for is for its vast collection of antique shops that line the Old Town section.
I've been there.
Oh, you have? Great.
Oh, yes, I've been there. I'm an antique collector myself, and I've been there on at least two occasions.
Oh, great. So
yes.
You're familiar with the area. So let's talk haunted objects. I know, Lorraine, that you have an occult museum. Is that what you call it?
Yes.
Okay. And that's in your home. So obviously you believe in haunted objects, and you've dealt with them for probably decades now. Right?
I certainly have.
Okay. So what was the beginning of it all? I mean, how did it start as far as acquiring these objects? And when, if you remember, what was your first object that you acquired?
Wow. Well, I can never remember that, honey.
Okay.
I can never remember what the first one was. But, my goodness, we had been researching, let's see, I can go back to 1952.
1952.
That we had been researching. And we've researched in some of the most outstanding hauntings. Right now, as of this time, let's see, it's been Australia, it's been Japan, it's been all the European countries.
Wow.
It's been 27 years of research in the United Kingdom. And so there's not too many areas that we haven't researched. Haunting phenomena is the same the world over. The cultures you're dealing with are always different.
Mm-hmm.
But the phenomena is the same. The same type of phenomena. Haunted objects are haunted by how they were used and what they were used for. And some of the things that are in our occult museum are extremely powerful. One being the Raggedy Ann doll.
Oh, yeah, I saw that on your website.
Extremely powerful object.
Okay.
And we had to have that, finally, a cabinet made for it. So people could not even come near touching it because it's very caustic.
Now, Lorraine, has any activity occurred once the objects are in your possession? Any activity going on in the museum?
Oh, yes. There's a lot of times we have that. We have clergy that come and bless. In fact, we're going to be having clergy bless sometime this week. It needs to be blessed again.
So that's something that you do periodically, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, no, it's when you begin to realize that there's activity out there.
Okay.
Then you have get blessed again, and you don't know what it is that opens doors that causes it. It could be people that come in, the recognition they give it, that maybe challenging things. Are doing things like that that we're not totally aware that they're doing.
Now,
do you
monitor people's visits when they go into the museum, or they, are they down there provoking
stuff? With Tony
all the time. With Tony, okay. And Tony's your Son-in-law, correct. Okay.
Yes, they're with my son-in-law all the time.
Okay.
And that he is out there and explaining everything to them piece by piece by piece.
Okay. I'm guessing that in the majority of the cases that you've dealt with, the client has already identified the object or an object as being the potential source. Have you worked on cases where you're trying to figure out what's going on and just through the process of investigation actually decide that it's an object that's the cause of what's going on?
Yes. Yes. Many times. Many, many times it will be. You know, you go into a home. You're there, a regular type family, maybe even church-going family.
Uh-huh.
And yet there is phenomena occurring. And it can be around something that they had bought at a tag sale or at an antique shop.
Okay.
That the spirit is still attracted to.
Now, Lorraine, are you able to sense this? Or are you able to pinpoint it once you're in? Is that one of your abilities?
When I go in the house and realize, you know, that it doesn't seem to be the house at all.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to be the people. And then I have to narrow it down to what it is. And a lot of times, like upholstered furniture,
mm-hmm.
is really, oh my God, can that hold vibrations?
Upholstered furniture?
Anything old.
That's interesting.
Anything old. You don't know what has occurred with it, where it has been, who has owned it. So, yes, haunted objects, certain objects are haunted.
Okay. Out of the objects that you pull from places, which one has given you the most trouble or was the most notorious? I think, was that the Raggedy Ann doll that you mentioned earlier?
Yes.
Okay.
Because the people have challenged it.
Okay. Can you give us a little bit of background on that item?
Pardon?
Can you give us a little bit of background on that item?
Well, it's a Raggedy Ann doll. I give it very little recognition, honey, by the way. Let me tell you that. It was owned by two nurses, two RNs.
Uh-huh.
And they treated it like it was a child. And then when one of the girls was engaged to be married, her fiancé fell asleep on the couch while the girls were cleaning one day. And when he woke up, he challenged the doll. He said he had a dream about the doll, that the doll was going to strangle him.
Wow.
And he went over, picked it up, and threw it, and said, "You're nothing but a rag doll. You couldn't do anything." And with that, claw marks came right across his chest. That apartment they shared, these two girls, that had to be exorcised. Through the Episcopal Church.
Okay. Wow. And this was how long ago?
Oh, this was years ago, honey.
Okay.
It doesn't matter how long ago it was. It's just still as powerful as it always was, especially when people challenge it.
Yeah.
And right now it's at a very bad point, so that's why we're having something done.
Okay. Something I've noticed in the past couple years is an increase of folks purchasing haunted items over the internet, like on eBay, auction sites like that. What advice would you give to anybody considering doing something like that because they maybe think it's cool or they just want to bring something into their home that could possibly be haunted?
That's very, very bad judgment. Very bad judgment.
Okay. Now, actually, there's there's groups that go out. Of course, I know that you work with a couple of different groups, more notably Paranormal, the guys from Penn State, correct? Ryan Buell.
Paranormal Research Society.
Ryan Buell.
Yeah, Ryan Buell. And you deal with a lot of, well, I've seen a few cases where you've dealt with haunted objects. I think the one was about the piano. Correct.
Oh, my God, that was weird. That was really weird. Tony and I both worked on that case with him.
Okay. And now, if somebody If somebody does something that apparently is a result of occult practices, right, and you know that an object is definitely the problem, what would be the responsible way to deal with that item? Would you just throw it away? Would you burn it?
Oh, never throw it away.
No.
Bury it.
Bury it. Okay.
Bury it. Never throw it away. If you're of Christian faith, make the sign of the cross with holy water on it after you bury it.
Yeah. Now, Lorraine, one of the, I don't want to say best known, but I guess one of the myths to do with something like that would be to burn it. Can you discuss the consequences of burning an item?
Don't ever burn it. That is evil. Then you. I'll give you an example. This one woman had been fooling with a Ouija board for a period of time. She challenged things on the board, and then she when she almost got raped by a spirit that she challenged, she tried to burn the board. The board wouldn't burn, so she put kerosene on it or gasoline, I don't know what she put, and threw something lit to ignite it. She hurt her skin. She was really a distance away from it. It wasn't caused by the heat. Her skin got off like a second degree burn on her arms and face and everything. As a result, never, never burn them.
So I guess they shouldn't burn it.
Definitely not.
Wow. Okay, so burn it. Now, I also heard something about throwing it into a body of water. Is that an option as well, or no?
No, that isn't a good idea at all.
Okay, so it would just be to bury it. Okay. Okay, and Lorraine, out of all the items in your museum, which one has really meant the most to you as a personal accomplishment, maybe with helping a family or an individual, that you actually got rid of something that was really causing a lot of havoc?
Oh, my God, it's full of stuff, honey. It's full of stuff like that, dear. Like, for instance, there is a photograph out there of a bride and groom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's old, like probably going back into the late 1800s.
Wow.
And they bought it because they bought a Victorian home.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought it would be nice to buy antique things to put in there.
Uh-huh.
Oh, they it was a photograph, but it was touched up photograph.
Mm-hmm.
of this bride and groom. And so they named the bride and they named the groom. And they gave a lot of recognition. And it wasn't the bride and groom that showed up, but the recognition they gave it, something very negative, did show up. And they brought it here and gave it to Ed and said they never wanted to, never, ever wanted to it back again. And then they had the house blessed. But, I mean, when they got rid of the picture or the photograph, but When they did get rid of it,
mm-hmm.
That was the best thing to do, but the vibrations would still be in the building. You know, I was just thinking, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that I knew the date of that wedding picture, and it was 1915. That mm-hmm. was the year.
Okay.
30 years before I was born. Excellent.
Wow.
Now, Lorraine, staying on the topic of objects, but switching gears just a little bit, I wanted to talk to you about human ashes. Now, here in Orange County, my group currently is working on a case where there's some intelligent activity going on, and we think it's most likely due to the grandfather's ashes that are currently stored in the house. Now, a lot of people keep loved ones' ashes in their home. Now, how likely is it for the ashes to, to make activity going on in the home?
Very, very seldom. Very, very seldom does that happen. I haven't had that happen too many times. It has happened, but not too many times.
Okay. Now, why do you think that might be?
Unless this party that you're talking about really gives a great deal of recognition, right, to it, to that. But just having the ashes of a grandfather into the house is never going to bring haunting phenomena.
Now, Lorraine, you keep on mentioning giving an item recognition. Does that give it power, or what? How does that work?
Gives it power.
Okay.
Yes. Without you giving it that power, it's just dormant.
Yeah. Okay. So if somebody could potentially have something that is has something attached to it or haunted, and if they don't know about it or acknowledge it, then it can remain dormant. But then if somebody is looking for something or that gives it recognition, then if there's something there, it can indeed manifest?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. Now, Lorraine, what is it like working with the folks over at Paranormal State with Ryan?
Working with Ryan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy working with Ryan. He's a very sincere person. He brings closure to the cases.
Mm-hmm.
When we first got started, that was the one thing I had said. You know, Ryan, you know, the only way I could, you know, work with you is if you're willing to bring closure on every case. And he said he thought that was the easiest thing to do.
Yeah.
Well, he found out it wasn't the easiest thing to do. It's the very hardest thing to do. But, no, they're a very, very sincere group, extremely sincere group. With a lot of respect, they go in these homes.
Great. And I think they're starting up a new season, actually, so we're looking forward to...
Yeah, we're starting a new season.
I'm looking forward. Now, are you scheduled to appear on any of the episodes coming?
Oh, yeah. I will. When time permits, mm-hmm. you know, Ryan and I talk mm-hmm. a lot, and when time permits, yes, I do.
Now, Lorraine, how do you get a lot of the cases that you work on, how do people find you or contact you, or do you specialize in specific types of hauntings?
No, definitely not. Well, I mean, you have to realize how long we've been involved. So people constantly, they call up from all over the world here.
Yeah.
They really call, call came in today from France. So they call it from all over the world because, you know, I guess because of the internet and the fact that we've traveled in so many countries.
Yeah, definitely.
And researched in so many countries. I mean, it's all the same. It's all different cultures you're dealing with.
Now, Lorraine, because of PRS and Paranormal State, do you get a lot of requests just because people want to be on TV, or a lot of them sincere?
Oh, no. Oh, God, no. We don't go or just because they want to be on TV.
No, I mean, do they call just because they want to be on TV? Because, you know, they know of the show and they think if they can get PRS to come out.
No, not really, honey.
Okay, so a lot of the calls you get are...
I mean, sometimes, in fact, in most cases, it's hard to get them convinced to do it.
Oh, okay.
Great. Now, Lorraine, I wanted to ask you about any cases, interesting cases that you're involved in right now, if you want to share any information.
I'm working on a case not far from here. It's a human haunting. It keeps reappearing.
I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit. You said an inhuman haunting that keeps reappearing?
Reappearing,
uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay.
It keeps reappearing. In other words, we've had... clergy in to bless the place, and everything was fine for a period of time. Now everything is coming back and forth, and the phenomena is starting all over again, and I've been up there 3 hours tonight.
And still no new information as far as what could be happening?
No new information. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Starting tomorrow, I'm going to go to records, land records,
mm-hmm.
to see what was on this land before. And I have a feeling part of what I psychically kind of came up with, let me explain. It's easier for me to explain.
Okay.
In the dream level, I dreamt I was on the land near where their house was built.
Okay.
And I walked for quite a while, and I walked uphill, and as I looked down, there was water. I don't know if it was a lake or a river. I couldn't tell you that. And come to find out, I didn't know it, but when I was there tonight, the family told me, yes, that is right. But I didn't know it. It came to me on the dream level. What that means regarding this case, I don't know. But I'm going to go and go through records and go back to a period of time. The house is only 14 years old, but what was on that land before these gorgeous big homes were built there?
Now, is it in a rural area? I haven't been out to Connecticut.
It's acreage.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And now, so this is a demonic haunting. We say inhuman haunting. Is that what you're referring to?
No, that's not demonic. It's a human spirit.
Oh, it's
a human spirit.
Okay.
That is really frightening the family.
Okay. Now, Lorraine, what percentage of cases that you work on are dealing with the demonic or possibly demonic or inhuman type hauntings?
A lot. I'd say sometimes over 50%.
Over 50%. Now, have you noticed an increase in demonic?
Yes, I have noticed an increase because of the doors people open. And they certainly do open doors. They see things on TV,
mm-hmm.
and they want to experiment to see if they can experience things. And in doing so, they give a recognition that allows them to invite something in. Now, it's not going to happen at the time, when they're like fooling the Ouija board and asking all different questions and why doesn't it appear and things like that. It's going to wait until you are the most vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to pick on the person that is the most vulnerable and then show itself. Not as a show that they could record.
Yeah.
But they could be very frightening.
Now, at that point, when you've determined that it is indeed something that is not human or demonic spirit, do you immediately contact the Catholic Church, or do you
If the family are Catholic faith, yes, I'm of Catholic faith, but you must honor this religion of the family, honey.
Okay. Does it make a difference to the demon if it's not of a Catholic faith, if it's a different type faith,
No, it's the faith of the family.
Mm-hmm.
So by saying that, are you saying that people who are either atheist or non-spiritual, are they exempt from demonic hauntings, or can they still get it?
Well, they are not exempt, but it's very, very hard to bring closure on their cases. Extremely hard. What can't we? They'll say, "Can't you use someone?" No, we can't use them because you don't believe.
Mm. Okay, so if somebody
very hard to deal
wow.
with a family where atheist is concerned.
But in most cases, the family usually has some sort of a religious belief system.
Yeah, I think yes, I would say. Almost 85%.
Okay. Okay, great. Now, Lorraine, going back to the haunted objects that we were talking about, haunted antiques, now some people would wonder why you have these items in your, you know, in your possession or in your home. Is there any danger to that in
well,
keeping them?
Of course there's danger. If anybody challenges it, that's why we have to have the blessing over of these things every now and then, because people do challenge it.
Yeah.
Okay, so by saying that, you're saying that you can have something, an object that is haunted, so as long as you don't challenge it and give it power, then you should be okay?
In most cases, yes.
Okay.
Not in all, but in most.
Now, Lorraine, are there any special projects or anything that you're working on? I know that recently you had, or I think periodically you do seminars, and actually I was scheduled to go out to one in May, and that's when I had emergency appendicitis. I don't know if you remember that, and I wasn't able to fly out.
I do, hon.
I wasn't able to fly out there.
The thing, people have been asterisk forever to do that, and it's, you know, something that we really enjoy doing. I mean, people come from all over the country, all over.
So you actually have them over into your home, is that right?
Yes, right in our home.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. And so what goes on at those meetings? It's basically a time you do a lecture, and I think you take them on a little tour or something nearby?
Yes, that's what we do. What we do is we show them a lot of video, you know, of hauntings and of, you know, ghosts and things of that nature. We talk to them about the background of all the work. When we do this, it starts at 6 o'clock at night and doesn't get over with until 11 o'clock at night. Because after spending the time, I mean, with small groups, mm-hmm. we don't do big groups.
Yeah,
do small groups, 20-some people, and then Tony will take them out to the museum, explain everything to them, piece by piece by piece. Any questions? And they'll take photographs. Then we go out for psychic photographs, and then we go to dinner.
Wow, it sounds like a great evening.
It is. It's a fantastic evening, hon.
Now, I think you recently did something with PRS at Gettysburg, right? I thought I saw some stuff on Facebook about that not too long ago.
We were in Gettysburg. That was a conference, honey.
Oh, conference. Okay.
That was a conference we were at. It's always great to be there, though. Have you been to Gettysburg?
No, I haven't. Have you not?
No, it's on my to-do list.
What a historic place that is.
Wow.
Now, Lorraine, when's your next scheduled visit out here to California?
I don't know. I really can say I really don't know when I'm going to be going out there again. Right now, I don't have anything scheduled. Tomorrow, it could change.
Yes, you're pretty difficult to get a hold of sometimes. I know you're constantly on the go. That's good. That's good.
You know, you have to take on the cases when they are active, and you can't just say I'm going to go in there for a half hour, and because you can't, you know, if you're getting evidence, then you have to stay, and you want to know everything that the family has already experienced.
Now, Lorraine, I think I know the answer to this question, but what is the most common question that you get from?
Do you want to hear something very stupid?
Sure.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Oh, wow.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Why did I not see that coming?
It's not a case of belief. You know, good God, do you believe in ghosts?
Well, you're
really set back by it. You don't know if it's a joke or if they're challenging you. But in most cases, they're not.
So what do you say to them?
I said, do you know what a ghost is? And a ghost is a disembodied spirit of a once living person. Isn't that what brings about haunting phenomena?
Well, I was guessing it was going to be Amityville.
Oh, no. No, there's a lot of people asked about Amityville. Don't ever let anybody tell you that there was anything phony about it. The Amityville case and the research we were involved in with the Amityville case affected our personal lives more than any case we ever worked on.
Mm.
It followed us to our home. It tried to kill us on the road. And it tried to do the same to the Catholic priest that had gone in there. It was a horrible, horrible case. Both of the Lutzes have now passed away. And the questions regarding it are always there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while we're on the subject, if you can touch real quickly, I noticed that the house, I don't know if it's still up for sale or it was recently up for sale. Do you know the current status of the home, if there's still activity going on?
I have never been back in the house again. Media wanted to pay me to go in, and I'd never go in. I'll never go back in the house again. I don't know. It's always going to be haunted, dear. But it's going to be haunted by the energy that people give it.
Mm.
If people can go in there and, you know, not give it the energy, how do you do that? You notice how much it's turning over? I mean, how many people are going in there, and then the house is up for sale.
Mm. Yeah, and it's not cheap either, Ernie. I believe it was in the seven-figure range.
Oh, I'm sure.
To purchase that house.
I'm sure. And, Lorraine, another case that you were involved in that was made into a movie recently was the Haunting in Connecticut, correct?
That was stolen, hon.
There was not
one iota of credibility regarding that. It was nothing like what you're saying. Nothing.
So you were not consulted for that, the making of that movie?
No, that was stolen, hon.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so that case was phenomenal. We worked with the Bishop of Hartford, Connecticut on that case, and about four or five Roman Catholic priests that worked with us because of just how bad that case was. And what you're saying was like a funhouse.
Yeah.
You know, it was just terrible. I didn't see it. But I've never talked to anybody at any of my lectures that found any credibility regarding it.
So so everything that was shown in the movie was something made up?
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, yes. I guess they had to do that because they were stealing it.
Yeah.
But they were using the title, The Haunting in Connecticut.
Okay. I wasn't clear about that. Well, Lorraine, I want to thank you so much for coming on our show. It was great to finally be able to get you, at least get you on the phone. I wasn't able to make it out there in person, but I am hoping to get out there sometime soon and to be able to come into your home, check out the occult museum.
Wonderful. Then I think the last one that we're going to have is going to be in August.
In August.
The last one before our schedule starts.
Okay. I imagine you could probably get pretty busy with lectures around the seasonal Halloween time, right?
Well, first semester, we have the heaviest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, second semester is not as heavy as the first semester.
Okay. Great.
So we're all over the place. We're in Canada. We're all over, hon. Already.
Awesome.
Already we're in. I don't think, I'm not sure, honey, but I don't think there's a California case yet, a California lecture yet.
No, we'd definitely love to see you out here. I was talking to Nolan.
I know, that would be great. That would be really, really great.
That would be awesome. And it's great to see you continually involved. You think you'll do this to the end?
Oh, I definitely will, honey. I'm very committed.
That is awesome. And we thank you so much for just being an example and just the knowledge that you're able to impart to people and just, you know, and the other investigators getting started. And you've definitely made a big impact in the lives of many. So
that is awesome. I appreciate that very much, Ernie. That was a very nice thing for you to say.
Oh, it's true. That's true. So, Lorraine, thank you again. And
thank you to your partner.
Oh, thank you.
No, thank you, Lorraine. It was a pleasure talking to you. And hopefully I can get out there to Connecticut and maybe get a book signed or something.
Good. That'd be great, honey. Look forward to meeting you, man.
Okay. Thank you, Lorraine.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
God bless.
Well, that was awesome to be able to talk to Lorraine Warren, definitely. And I, a lot of great information. I mean, I could have talked to her for, I think I don't know if she's still on the phone.
Now
there.
She's gone.
Okay, now she's gone. Hold on 1 second. Let me get off. There we go. So definitely, that was a great to be able to talk to Lorraine. Lorraine, how do you think?
It was. I'm kind of starstruck a little bit. You know, I mean, you're talking about a lady who has well over 50 years of investigating and paranormal experience, and she's definitely one of the pioneers of the field of paranormal investigating. And you know, she's the inspiration for a lot of people, including myself. You know, I have read one of her books and done some research on what she's done in her cases, and it's going to be unmatched.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to ask her about her husband Ed, because they were, you know, a team, of course. For many years, and he passed away a couple of years ago.
Back in 06.
Yeah, and so, you know, I'm sure that was definitely a blow. But she continues to, you know, to get out there, and she's, I believe, in her 80s, and she, you know.
She doesn't sound like she slowed down one bit.
No, and that's awesome. You know, be able to continue to go out there and.
Yeah, we were very, very fortunate to be able to have her on.
So. Definitely. Well, that's all the time we have for this edition or this podcast of Haunted Orange Paranormal Podcast. Thank you for joining us, and be sure to check our website, hauntedorange.com, for upcoming podcast events. Thank you, and good day.